We all know that Elul is a very, very special time of year. What I'd like to do here is take some time to review first why exactly Elul is considered to be a very special time of year historically and in terms of the ideas that Elul represents, and then take it in a very specific direction, a specific area where I think in our generation we have a very particular challenge when it comes to one specific area, which I think we can connect to Chodesh Elul. The background of Chodesh Elul, many of us are familiar with, but we'll read it inside nonetheless. Let's take a look at source number one. This is the Mishnah Berurah at the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, which mentions that we Sfardim begin reciting Slichos from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the Ramah notes that Ashkenazim and Sfardim have accepted this custom as well, begin blowing the shofar at Shachar, after Shacharis, on at the beginning of Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So the Mishnah Berurah explains to us what the significance of Rosh Chodesh Elul is. He says, "Mashenagu miRosh Chodesh she'az ala Moshe b'Har Sinai. Moshe at that time went up to the Har Sinai l'kabel luchos achronos, to accept the second set of luchos." This, of course, if you remember, is the time after the Chet HaEgel, after the golden calf, where Moshe went up the mountain for 40 days. The people didn't remember or didn't understand exactly which day he was supposed to come back. They thought he wasn't coming back, and they built the Egel Hazav, which, of course, Moshe was very, very upset about. And now, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, that basically happened. They came down the mountain on Shivasar B'Tamuz, and Rosh Chodesh Elul was the third set of 40 days. That was the second time that Moshe went back up the mountain to receive the second set of luchos. So the Mishnah Berurah continues, "V'haviru shofar b'machaneh." They blew the shofar in the camp on that day. Moshe alal ahar shelo yitu oed achar avodah zarah. So that's the time that the reason why they blew the shofar was to note to the people that was when Moshe was going up, so they shouldn't make a mistake again about when the 40 days were up and shouldn't come to an additional celebration of Avodah Zarah or Chet HaEgel. So that's why they blew the shofar at that time. Now, just before we go on, it's important to know this is actually a very, very interesting and more elaborate discussion concerning the significance of why we blow the shofar and why the shofar in the camp of Bnei Israel at that time when Moshe went up to the mountain, why is that a valid historical precedent for blowing the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul? What's the connection? And that's a discussion which we're not going to get into now, that the Mefarshim talk about there on the Shulchan Aruch there, and as well as the Sifrei Machshava, the Sifsei Chaim has a nice piece about that as well. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah continues, "V'havi Eis Ratzon," that Elul is considered to be an Eis Ratzon, a special opportune time for coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the month of Elul is when Moshe went back up to accept the second Luchos. That's when Bnei Israel were hopefully doing tshuva from their sin of the Chet HaEgel, and as we know from Yom Kippur, Hashem accepted their prayers, Hashem forgave them. That's when Moshe came down the mountain. So this is a special time based on this historical precedent. And of course, this continues throughout history, that Elul is always considered to be a special time for coming close to Hashem and doing tshuva before the Yemei Hadin of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Mishnah Berurah continues, "V'ika smachta mikra anila dodi v'dodi li." The Mishnah Berurah says that there is a famous reference to this from the Pasuk of Shirah, "Shir manila dodi v'dodi li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me." And this is a famous idea, originating from the Arizal and others. Rosh Tevos Elul, so the first letters, the Rosh Tevos of these four words are Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, which spells Elul. V'sofei tevos ola mem keneged arboim yom. And the last letter of each of those four words is yud. So you add up that's 40 days. That's 40, corresponding to the 40 days that Moshe went up the mountain. Merosh chodesh ela ad yom ha-kippurim. What's the significance? Ki ve'elu arboim yom ha-tshuva mekubelas. Because in these 40 days, tshuva is accepted. Lios libo karov el dodo b'tshuva. That our hearts should be close to the hearts of our beloved, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we do tshuva. The Uz Dodo Karov Lo Lakabel Tshuva So Miyahava, and then our beloved, meaning Hashem's heart, will be close to us because of our tshuva. He's accepting our tshuva. So here, the illustration of this Rosh Tevus of Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li really demonstrates for us part of the particular significance of Elul. Elul is a time of closeness between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another reference, also that Hashem will literally circumcise our heart. Again, the same idea of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Rosh HaTevos of Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. So this is the idea of El, of us coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming close to us. The Yaruch HaShulchan echoes the same thing in source number 2. And he says, V'chach mehamusar ramzu alav mikra d'ani l'dodivido d'li. V'chach mehamusar have also hinted to this idea of elo from ani l'dodivido d'li, sharosh ha-tevos elo, kilomar, as if to say, sha'ta ha'es, shiyu kol machshavosai l'dodi. This is the time that all of my thoughts should be focused towards my beloved, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kesh'esa kein az gam dodi li, shi'ashkiach alai l'tovasi. And when I do that, then my beloved will be to me, that Hashem will concern himself with my benefit, meaning he'll look out for me, that things will, he'll help things, he'll do things for me that will benefit me. We should just note also that, of course, El is not the only time to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and El is not the only time for doing tshuva. V'Yisrael Salanter pointed out that tshuva is a mitzvah all year round. It's not something which is specific to this time of year. The Rambam has Hilchos Tshuva in Sefer Hamada. It's something which is which we should be thinking about all the time, not specifically in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. The significance of El is that this is the time that Hashem is closer to us. If we're closer to Hashem and Hashem is closer to us, there's a better chance that Hashem will accept our tshuva. Okay, the tshuva has more of a chance of going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being heard favorably during this time, and that's why El is special, not in terms of the idea that tshuva should be done, but rather the idea that there's more of a chance of it actually being accepted, received favorably. Now it's interesting that both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brura are pointing out here that this is not a one-way relationship, this is a reciprocal relationship. And both of them mention this idea that we have to be close to Hashem, and Hashem will in turn be close to us, meaning our side is that we have to work on ourselves and become close to Hashem. If we do that, then Hashem will respond in kind, and he will try to do things for our benefit. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan pointed out. That's when he will be close to us, only if we are close to him. So it involves really the two parties, both of us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of making El happen. It's not something which happens automatically by itself. In the month of El, it's something that we have to make happen as well. If we do our part and try to come close to Hashem, then Hashem will do his part and come close to us. Now, just in terms of blowing the shofar, so again, another idea of blowing the shofar, which is related to El, again, everybody, I think most of us know this, but I'll just review it. So the Rambam gives us a bit of a reference to the significance of Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but again, it's assumed that this is usually applied to the month of El as well. The Rambam in source number 4, Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel, says, "Afal pishut Tkiyah Shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeras hakasuv," even though the Torah doesn't say why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Still, Remez Yeshbo, there's a hint to this, Kolomar Uri Yishen Mishanaschem, that we're supposed to be waking ourselves up from our slumber during on Rosh Hashanah, and as well during the month of El. Rambam continues, you should wake up from your dozing, v'chipsuv ma'aseichem, investigate your actions, v'chazer b'tshuva, and return to tshuva, come to tshuva, v'zuchu boracham, and remember your Creator. And the Rambam continues, we'll stop here. But this again is important to remember for the month of El and the blowing of the shofar during El, that this is our way of waking us up to remember, as a reminder, that we should do tshuva and try to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's interesting that there's actually another reference as well to El, which is mentioned by some of the earlier sources. If you take a look in source number 3 here, they point out, based on the Eliyahu Rabbah and a number of other Sfarim, this also may have its roots in the Arizal, perhaps, that Elul has another Rosh HaTevos of Ish L'Riehu U'Matanos L'Avyonim. Again, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. Here it's very interesting. This pasuk has to do with Megillas Esther and Purim. What's the significance of Ish L'Riehu U'Matanos L'Avyonim when it comes to Elul? Why is that connected? So it could be here again, as he says, Remez L'inyan Tzedakah, the idea of Matanos Levyonim is connected to the idea of Tzedakah. And we know, of course, that Tzedakah is one of the things, Tzedakah Tatal Mimaves, can save us from death. It's always an added advantage to give extra Tzedakah during this time. And that's referenced by this pasuk, this Rosh HaTevos El of Ish L'Riehu Matanos Levyonim. I heard from Rav Miller Rav David Miller, that the Saba of Kelm actually emphasized the first part of this pasuk of Ish L'Rei Ehu, meaning not only do we have to exert ourselves to give a little more tzedaka during this time, but also Ish L'Rei Ehu, but the Beidaron L'Chaveiro has to be built up as well. So I think we have a nice duality here between these different Rosh Tevos here of Elul. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li focuses exclusively on the connection between us and Hashem, that's Bein Adam L'Makom. And Ish L'Rei Ehu Matanos Lev Yonim focuses on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, either through giving tzedakah by helping other people, or Ish L'Rei Ehu simply strengthening our relations with other people, which references the idea that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is equally important. And this, of course, we know as well from the fact that Shuvah is not accepted for Averus Bein Adam L'Chaveiro unless we go to the person first and ask them forgiveness. If we've done something wrong to them, and this the Rambam discusses in source number 6, in Hilchos Shuvah Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, again, a famous idea that based on the Gemara, that you can't atone for your sins that are Bein Adam L'Chaveiro unless you've gone to the person first and tried to appease him and ask for his forgiveness. So this also, of course, is an important time during Elul to be able to do this, to strengthen ourselves, our achdus, with the rest of Klal Yisrael as well. And it's important to note, of course, we know that before Yom Kippur, everybody wants to know, I have to go ask everyone for mechila, but it's hard to find the people to ask for mechila. By that point, you don't have very much time. Could be that Elul is a good opportunity during this month to think about who we have wronged and try to find the people that really deserve our asking them for forgiveness when we have a little bit more time to think about it. So Elul is a good time to start with that. Again, in any event, this Ish L'Rei Ehu Matanos Lev Yonim symbolizes the area of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro in different regards, tzedakah, and also other aspects of interpersonal relationships that we can be working on during the month of Elul. And Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li symbolizes the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to focus for the second half of this shiur on a particular aspect of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, which I think is a very, very important and specific challenge for our times, for our generation. If you look back at the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 2, he makes a very, very interesting point here when he talks about Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. And he says, as we said before, we read before, Sha'ata ha'es, now is the time, she'yu kol machshevosai l'dodi, that all of my thoughts, all of my mind should be concentrated on Hashem, should be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when I do that, then Hashem will think about me, she'ashkiach alay l'tovasi, he'll make sure to have my best interests at heart and do good things for me. So it's interesting, the fact that the Aruch HaShulchan says that all of my machshava should be for Hashem, kol machshavosai l'dodi, I think sends us in a certain direction that has to do with the idea of concentration and distraction. That Elul is a month where we're not only supposed to be doing tshuva and getting close to Hashem, we have to do it in a way which is as continuous as possible. We have to really focus all of our energies on coming close to Hashem. It's not something we can just think about a little here, a little there. It's something that we really need to put all of our willpower into doing, kol machshavosai l'dodi, in order to be effective. And this is something which I would like to give a little bit of background now, which I think relates directly to a very important idea which we can find in this past week's parsha. This past week's parsha was Parsha Shoftim, and there's a very, very important yesod principle which comes out of one section of this parsha. If you look in source number 7, the Torah discusses the institution of melech, of a king. And one of the interesting halachos that applies to a king that the Torah discusses here in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes, says, V'hayachish yifto al kisei malachto, when the king is sitting on his throne, V'chasov lo es mishneh ha-Torah hazos al sefer, he has to write this Mishneh Torah down milifnei ha-Kohanim ha-Levim, in front of the Kohanim ha-Levim. What is this Mishneh Torah? So it's not clear. Rashi on the Torah is quoting from, at least paraphrasing, from the Mishnah and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph. Says the Mishnah Torah here does not refer to Sefer Dvarim, which it sometimes does, and there are some Mefarshim that actually take it that way here, but the Gemara seems to not. According to Rashi's take on the Gemara, what's happening here is that Mishnah Torah refers to a double Torah, meaning two Torahs. Rashi says, Shtei Sefer Torah. Achashehi munachas beveis kanazav, achashe nechnesas viotzei simo. One that is placed in his house of storage, meaning everyone at that time used to have their own Sefer Torah. Of course, in that time, the mitzvah of writing your own Sefer Torah was in full force. Today, of course, many poskim say that it can be fulfilled perhaps by buying Sfarim. But in those days, most people had their own Sefer Torah. The king had to have two, Mishne Torah, he had to have double. One Sefer Torah, like everyone else, that was placed in his storage house, that was taken out on occasion. And one that he took with him wherever he went. And this is the language, if you look at source number 9 of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, he had to write a Sefer Torah lishma for the king. When he went out to war, the king would bring it with him. Nichnas hu machniso imo. And when he came back from war, he would bring the Sefer Torah back with him. Yoshe b'din hi imo. When he sat in judgment, it was with him. Again, this is not clear exactly what this means. The king, halachically, according to the Gemara, there is not allowed to judge. But whatever it means that he was involved in the judgment, he was there. It was with him. Mesav hi kenegdo. And when the king ate, when he reclined and ate, the Sefer Torah was with him. Shenemar v'haiso imo v'karavo kol yamei chayav. The next pasuk. In source number 7, Haiso Yimo Karvo Kol Yemei Chayav, that the Sefer Torah should be with him and he should read it all the days of his life. L'man Yomad Liras Hashem Elokecha, in order so that he should learn to fear Hashem, his God. Yishmor is called Divrei HaTorah Zos, to keep the entire Torah. Yes, Achukim Ha'ilel La'asosam, and these laws in order to do them. So according to the Gemara here, the idea behind the king bringing the Sefer Torah with him, where this little Torah with him wherever he went, was in order to learn to fear Hashem and to do all of the mitzvos. It's interesting that that Rabbeinu Chananel points out on the Gemara there, which may actually have been in some of the Girsos, the versions of the Gemara itself, that the Sefer Torah was small, like the size of a kamiya, like an amulet, and it was attached to his arm. He took it took the small Sefer Torah and attached it to his arm the same way that many people would have attached an amulet to their arm. It was something that really went with him wherever he went. It was a constant reminder. And they say, I think this is pointed out in the biography to Rav Meir Shapiro Zatzal, the head of the founder of the Daf Yomi movement, that he also actually had written his own personal little Sefer Torah and he carried it with him. I don't know if it was wherever he went, but he carried it with him to many, many places. In any case, this is the idea of the Sefer Torah, the second Sefer Torah of the king. It's with him wherever he goes to serve as a reminder to fear Hashem everywhere. The Mesilas Yesharim in source number 10, this is Perek Chaf Hei, when he's talking about the Midah of Yira, of fearing God, actually takes this idea and applies it to everybody. We're not going to read the whole thing inside now, but basically what he's talking about here is how to come to Yiras Hashem, to fearing God. And essentially what he says is that what you need to do is think about it wherever you go. Something that should be constantly on your mind, as he quotes from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says that you should remember that you always have an eye that sees everything you do, an ear that hears, and everything that you do is written down, from Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So he says, this is now towards the end of the first paragraph in the Mesilas Yesharim, V'nim sasha kamo sharov ha'isbonin hu l'derech liknos ha'yirah ha'tamidis. He says, we see that the way to acquire the midah of yira, constant yira, is to think about it, to sit and ponder. What is the biggest danger, the biggest impediment to achieving this state of yira? It's hesachadas, which we can translate either as distractions, interruptions, not thinking about it. That's the biggest danger, something that which would cause you to lose out this midah from this midah of yira. Could be either because you're too busy or intentionally, you don't feel like thinking about this. Any type of hesach hadas is going to nullify absolve any gains that you might have in acquiring the midah of yira, of fearing Hashem constantly. And here the Mesilas Yesharim quotes our pasuk from this past week's parsha. This is what Hashem commands the king. V'haiso imo v'karavo kol yamei chayav. That the Sefer Torah should be with the king, and he should read it all the days of his life. Laman yamad liyiras Hashem elokav. So he says that halamanata she'ein hayira nilmedes elamin akriya habiltin ifsekes. That you can only learn fear, awe of God, as the pasuk says, from kriya habiltin ifsekes, uninterrupted reading. Meaning the king has to constantly look at the Torah in order to be able to acquire this midah of yira. It's got to be a constant thing which takes place wherever the king goes. So it's interesting that Mesilas Yesharim is deriving from our pasuk about the Melech, that there's an obligation for every person to have tried to acquire this Midah of Yira, and an idea that Hesach Hadas is one of the major impediments to constant Yira. That is derived from this parsha of Melech, but the Mesilas Yesharim is applying the idea to every person. So we might ask, if that's true, well then why does the Melech have a specific halacha of bringing a Sefer Torah with him wherever he goes? Doesn't every person have this obligation to try to acquire Yiras Hashem constantly and to be careful about Hesach Hadas? Why then does the king have a special obligation to try to do this through bringing the Torah with him? So there's a number of answers one could give to this question. One answer could be that the king is a special model. He's the role model for the nation, so he has to show what the best way of doing this. It doesn't mean that everybody can do that, but it could be something that the king himself has to demonstrate is an important value for him. That's one option. Another option is discussed, and this is the option we're going to focus on, by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sefer Sichos Musar from Tavshan Lamed Aleph. I think it's Parsha Shoftim. He basically suggests that the idea here is that the king and every other person are equal. The only reason why the king is singled out to have the extra Sefer Torah with him is because the king has more tirdos. He has more responsibilities than everyone else. The king is running the entire nation. He's the one responsible to make sure Bnei Yisrael are doing what they're supposed to be doing, at least one of the people that's responsible for that, and he's the one to make sure that the justice system is working properly, everything else in the nation is working properly. He's busy. He has a lot of things going on, a lot of distractions in his life. And therefore, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, he is specifically the person that needs extra reminders to remind him to acquire this midah of Yiras Hashem and to make sure that he doesn't lose out, that the Hesach Hadas, the distractions and the interruptions that he has, don't prevent him from acquiring this this midah of Yira and of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, he who is going all over the place, he is the one that needs to bring the Sefer Torah with him everywhere he goes to remind him and to learn constantly. And that's the way that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz understands this, but he says that this would really be true for everyone else as well, just the king is singled out because of the fact that he is he has more things going on. So I think that today this lesson, this idea of distraction and interruption and constant learning or constant fear of Hashem is a lesson which is very, very crucial for our generation. Our generation is a generation that is really very, very, has a very, very short-term, I guess we call it a short-term memory. We can't really sit for very long. We have constant distractions, being flooded with so many different things, emails and cell phones and other types of distractions. There's always something coming up. We don't really have such a long attention span anymore. And little sound bites, that's what we hear. It's hard to listen for more than a couple minutes to whatever it might be. This is a very, very big challenge for us. This type of constant thinking about Hashem or learning or whatever the challenge might be is very, very difficult when we have so many other things that vie for our time. It's interesting that when it comes to this issue, so I actually, even though I'm usually a teacher, so I actually had this summer some time to reflect on this a little bit. I was home during the summer. My teaching was not everything, but it was on vacation. My wife had just started a full-time job, so I was home with my five kids. My five kids, the oldest is seven. So I didn't have very much time, even though usually I'm preparing my teaching and I'm out teaching, dealing with Torah. Most of the summer, I was spending time at home taking care of the kids. But again, that's didn't have much time to learn. But as fate had it, so basically what I did is I said, well, during the time that I'm with the kids, I don't really have time to learn. I'm not really going to think about it so much. So what ended up happening? Most of the time, I had plenty of things to take care of. I had to give them. They need food, and they need this, and they want to play, etc., etc. But here and there were a few pockets of time that were open, and I think that would be a good time for me to go learn. But what ended up happening is because the computer was out, so I ended up checking my email 20 times. I don't need to check my email 20 times. So basically, I realized afterwards when I was thinking about it that I had not taken this lesson to heart, even though I thought that I don't have any free time, but really there are pockets of time here and there. And during those pockets of free time, the first thing I should be thinking about doing is taking out a sefer and learning for a minute or two, whatever it might be, a chumash, a mesilas yesharim, listening to a shir on YU Torah, something else. just talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something which many are very big into today. Rav Arush has some svarim about this, his whatever it might be. There's plenty of things that you can think about doing for a couple minutes here and there. But I didn't think about it. Instead, I was thinking about how many times can I check my email. And this is really, again, the example perhaps is not so relevant for all of us that are working. It's more, you know, for people that stay home with their kids. But the idea, I think, is very, very, very relevant to all of us wherever we might be, because there are so many distractions today and there's so little time for things that we need. So we really have to keep this in mind. The lesson of the king of the Mesilas Yesharim of Rav Chaim Shulevitz, I think, is something which we really, really have to think about, and a very, very important lesson for Chodesh Elul, where we're looking to change, we're looking to do tshuva. So again, today for most of us, I think it's impossible for us to, most of us, except for perhaps Bachor Yeshiva and Kolonix, to be able to actually sit down and learn for 20 hours a day, to constantly learn. Again, go back to the Rabbanim, the Gedolim of old, they would really be able to sit and concentrate for hours on end. Even those of us in Yeshiva take breaks. We go out, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the same piece bemoans the fact that today, even those that are learning can't really achieve this status of constantly being in touch with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and constantly learning or Yiras Hashem, because of the fact that we go out and we take breaks, and because of that we have to start all over again when we come back in. And this was in his time. Imagine today what would happen if he walked into some of our Bate Midrash and our shuls and he sees a constant symphony of cell phones going off and email signals and this and that. He would, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would be, I think he would be shocked. But he says even in his time this was a major, major problem, the problem of constant distractions. But it, again, for today, most of us don't have the opportunity to even try to be learning full-time or to be thinking about Hashem all the time. However, I think for us today, the model of the Melech is actually closer to what we have than maybe the other people. According to Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Melech was unique because he had so many distractions, so many tirdos responsibilities on his time. That's why he had to bring the Sefer Torah with him. I think today, most of us are really more similar to the Melech than we are to everybody else. And therefore, perhaps we need similar reminders like the Melech does to bring a Sefer Torah with him wherever he goes. That's something that we need to do also. If we can't come to the level of achieving that that allows us to be doing something constantly all the time, learning or Yiras Hashem, we have to at least take the model of the Melech, who's supposed to be among all of his responsibilities, at the same time is also supposed to be reading his Torah and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he can. So for us, again, whatever it means, taking those few minutes here and there, even if you don't always learn it, but you bring a Sefer with you, let's say to work, on the bus, whatever it is, a Mishnah Berurah, something else, there's just the fact that you're holding it in your hands. I think we see from the Melech, even the times that he couldn't learn it, the fact that he had it with him probably was a very strong reminder of his responsibility to being close to Hashem. And the same is true for us as well. Just having the Sefer with you will do wonders for your mentality and your thinking about what your true responsibilities are in life. And then once you have it there, if you have a few minutes free here and there during your lunch break, again, on the bus, the train, whatever it might be, the first thing you'll think about doing is opening up your Sefer and learning for a few minutes. And I'm telling you, it can completely change your day, even if you're not talking about a full Seder. Again, obviously, the ideal here is that we are supposed to be Kovya Itim Latorah at some point. We should have time during our day that we learn for a significant amount of time, an hour, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever time we have. But here, we're talking about the times that we don't have to learn for an hour or 2 hours, but the fact that we have a Sefer or something, a Shir, something to listen to about Torah with us, that we listen to at constant points during the day, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, is something which can really change our day and will really keep us focused on what we're supposed to be doing during this time. And they say that famous story, I think it's with Rav Moshe Feinstein, though it may have been reported from other Gedolim as well, that he used to make a Siyum HaShas every year. And one year he made a Siyum HaShas at a different time, right in the middle of the year. And he said, this one is a really, really special one. And they didn't understand why. What had he done? He'd make so many Siyum HaShas, and this one is not even at the right time. And he explained to them that this Siyum HaShas was a Siyum on the Gemara that he had learned all of the 2 minutes here and 2 minutes there, that he was waiting, that he was at a chasana, that, you know, something else happened, that he had a couple extra minutes to learn. He was able to finish Shas based on the few minutes here and a few minutes there. This is a tremendous, tremendous idea that I think can really, really help us all in putting us in the right frame of mind for Chodesh Elul. Going back now to the Aruch HaShulchan, who said that the time of Elul, of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, is Shiu Kol Machshavosai L'Dodi, that all of my thoughts should be to my beloved. So again, ideally that's what it should be, that we're constantly thinking about Hashem or learning during the day. But again, for those of us who can't get to that point, I think the model of the Melech is really a very good second option. That by bringing some sort of Sefer Torah with us, whatever form it might be, constantly here and there for a few minutes, trying to infuse the rest of our day with spirituality in whatever way we can, I think will bring us that much closer to this ideal mentioned by the Aruch HaShulchan of Kol Machshavosai L'Dodi, that all my thoughts will be toward my beloved, when every hour or every couple hours I have an opportunity for a minute or two to think about or to learn something from the Torah. And hopefully through that we can merit to get to the level that that we discussed previously, that if we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Eloh, we are close, Leos Libo Karov El Dodo, as Mishnah Berurah said, if we are close to Hashem, then Hashem Az Dodo Karov Lo Hashem will become close to us. And we hope that we will use this month of Eloh properly and productively to be able to come to Tshuva and to allow Hashem to be able to do good things for us as well when he sees the effort that we put in to try to respond to some of the challenges of our time, to the constant distractions that we have through modern technology, to show Hashem that we remember what our priorities are. Our priorities really still lie with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Despite all the distractions that we have, he is the first thing that we think about and the primary part of our day.